Christian friends, how do you like the food service? Now, I'm not talking about the one over there. I'm talking about the one here. Today's message is God Feeds Us. I want to focus your attention, please, for a few moments on how God feeds us here and there and, in fact, everywhere. The words God feeds us represent God's total care for us. Hear the words of Jesus in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And as you do, and you may, of course, follow along in the worship folder, feel how our Lord, as he talks about God's total care for us, is nudging us. He's nudging us toward what? Listen to Jesus' words. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Those are the words. And the main message, of course, is clear. God the Father is caring for us, so don't worry about food and clothing. Well, I don't think many of us do that. I look out on you now, and I don't see very many starving people. Nobody here is wearing rags, at least not out of necessity. Now, does that mean that Jesus' words here don't apply much to us anymore? Of course, not at all. There are several kinds of sinful worry. All of them emerge from this lack of faith that Jesus speaks of here when he says, you of little faith. One kind of worry is lack of faith plus desperation, really hard times. And that can happen sometimes to us. But that's not our usual kind. Our usual everyday lack of faith, our usual everyday worry is lack of faith plus selfish desires. Our worry is more of a selfish kind. Can I get what pleases me? So we complain about food, not because we're starving, but because it's not what pleases us most. And we're concerned about clothing, not because we don't have any, but because what we have is not the latest or the coolest. Go down the list of things in your life that occupy your mind and your energy and your attention. And isn't the focus so often on what pleases me? In these verses, Jesus is nudging us toward maturity. Christian maturity. He is saying, grow up. And don't hear that as a scolding here, but as an encouragement from someone who sincerely wants you and me to be happy. Grow up in your Christian maturity, he says. And that's not even spoken as an older person to a younger person, but to everyone. There are people your age who are exceptionally mature Christians, and there are some my age who are not. Jesus gets straight to the central question of Christian maturity when he asks, what are we seeking first? And his answer here is, of course, it should be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Christian maturity starts with God's righteousness. That's the sinless condition earned by Jesus as he lived his life in perfect obedience to God and then placed that sinless condition, that righteousness of God, upon us like a pure, clean robe. And at the same time, he removed our sin by paying the penalty we owed for our unrighteousness when he suffered death, the wages of sin, on the cross in our place. And this righteousness of God that we now have through the work of Jesus Christ has placed us in his kingdom. We are in the kingdom of God. And now Jesus says, seek that kingdom first. Do that first. Give it your attention. Pay attention to your place in God's kingdom. Ask yourself, what am I here for? Why did God redeem us and put us here? Was it to get the best food that pleases us? If the answer to that is no, then why do we pay so much attention to that? Why did God redeem us and put us here? Was it so we could wear the latest fashions? If no, then why do we put so much effort into that? Why did God redeem us and put us here? Was it so we could get the latest gadgets or so we could party hard? Go down the checklist of where you put your attention and your effort and your money and consider, is that why God put you here? And if for a lot of those things the answer is no, then listen to Jesus' urging here when he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Put your attention and your effort into why God redeemed you and put you here. And then all those other things, at least the things that we really need. Now, Jesus, notice, doesn't say they'll take care of themselves. No, that's too accidental. He says God will see to it. God will take care of them. God himself, he says, all these things will be given to you as well. So realize that. Let your faith grow in its maturity to encompass not only the embrace of Jesus as our Savior, but let your faith grow to encompass the realization that when you devote yourself to why God wants you here, God will feed you with all of his good things. Live that realization actively the rest of this morning, the rest of today, the rest of your life, and then you'll have moved closer to the Christian maturity that Jesus wants for us, that will bring us real, lasting happiness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we do worry, even though we are mature Christians, about a friend in Iraq or Afghanistan, about a family member who is ill, about how we will make it in school or after school, and many other things. For these failures of faith, we ask your forgiveness. Look on us as if we had the faith of Jesus, whose trust in you never wavered, even though he faced trouble and death on the cross. And then help us to work hard in contentment, seeking first your kingdom, certain that you, O God, love us and will surely feed us and care for us in all things. For this we thank you as we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.